Just worship Him and thank Him for that blood.
Oh, greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free to praise Him. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sister Esther, she's got to sing a special for us. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that blood? You know that blood still can be applied to your life. Amen. It's still fresh. It hasn't lost its power. Amen. Praise God. God. Thank God for His grace. Definitely been missing Sister Esther. I think that's the first time she's sang since she stepped back. So we appreciate that, sisters. Amen. Amen. Let's take up our offering. Brother Michael, you want to help us? Appreciate that. Praise God. As he passes that around, let's sing the song, He's Everything to Me. He's Everything to Me. A little medley we always sing around here. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet?
Oh, He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. For He's my Father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me.
Is He everything to you now?
Oh, He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. For He's my Father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me.
Once again now.
Oh, He's everything. Yes, He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. For He's my Father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything.
Give me oil in my lamp.
Oh, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Just give me oil in my lamp and keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning to the break of day. And I will sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. I will sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
Once again, give me oil,
oh give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Just give me oil in my lamp and keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. And I will sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. I will sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to...
It's not by might.
Well, it's not by might. And it's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. It's not by might. And it's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. And this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, said the Lord.
Once again now.
Well, it's not by might. It's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. It's not by mind, and it's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the...
Say it like this, your mountain shall be removed.
Your mountain shall be removed. Your mountain shall be removed. Your mountain shall be removed by my spirit. Amen. Just let the instruments play. Amen. Clap your hands now. In this mountain, shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my spirit, saith the Lord. One more time. In your mountain shall be removed. Your mountain shall be removed. Your mountain shall be removed by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just let go and let God have his way. Amen. I believe that it'll come to pass. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Dale, you want to go ahead and come up? I think that we're going to have a baby dedicated, so we're going to go ahead and...
Amen. Great thing to dedicate a baby. Because you dedicate them to the Lord, but you dedicate yourself to help raise the baby. That's the main thing, right? Put it all there. All right. What if we would, if the Brewer family and the Gabriel family will come on down to the front, and we'll have the baby dedication. Just come on down. Now, both sides. All right, what we're going to do is going to be, hey there, hey beautiful. Going to be a little bit different. Come on away. Come on out. Going to be a little bit different because, you know, we all love Brother Ray. Everybody in the church always loved and praised Brother Ray. And, you know, so we just want somebody to stand in his place today. Is that all right? To where we can say, okay, we're all a part of the body of Christ. Amen? But we're just glad to be able, it's a hard time, and all that we know, but yet still, it is a time that we can take the time and we can just do this that they would have been months, maybe years before they could ever got over to have her dedicated. Because we've been looking forward to this little one. We always like to get those little ones to the Lord as fast as we can. Because that way then we have, you know, we can take pride and honor in knowing that all is well and God can take care of all things. Amen. So that's what we want to do. We want to bring the little one, bring to the Lord. So let's just sing that, bring him in. Yeah. And we'll bring the little one and we'll just dedicate her unto the Lord. Now remember what we do here. We're just a little bit different, I guess, in all of our doings. But you see, everybody in the building today is dedicating this baby. Not just me, not the family on both sides. We're all gathered together to dedicate this little one. All right? Because we are to live before this child a life that the child can look up and see and want to follow after. We want to do that. Because that way you can dedicate then. See, you dedicating yourself to live before this child, that it would have an honor and a glory to look back at the lives of the Christian saints that's gathered. And that way the families that dedicate their lives to live before this child a life that Christ can come down and live in the family and do that. All right? Okay, so let's just dedicate the little one. Little, let's see, I better make sure I get this right now. My wife said, you make sure and get that right. Little Violet Ray Brewer. Let's just dedicate this little one to they bring them.
Wow, you're heavy.
Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we bring this little one into our hands. You and your word there, you talked about it, and they brought their little ones to you, and you dedicated them. You committed them to God, and that's what we're doing today. We just committed with this little one back into the hands of mom and daddy, grandmothers and things, to raise the child for your honor and your glory. We love you and we thank you. Thank you for an opportunity to hold a little one. One of your purchase of little babies. Lord, as long as they're little babies, they got a right to heaven in your ways. We love you, Father, and we thank you. We commit it all down to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hey, you done good.
Devil don't get a hold of them. Oh, I need to turn on. How's that? That good? Good. Thank you, sir. Always good to get a thumbs up from the back row. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you here. Lord, how many's downstairs? A few. Ryan, your young is downstairs. You can bring him up here anytime you want to. Good to be here today. Good to have that service there with good to see Mary, and Lord, we remember them when they were just babies themselves. And downstairs, if y'all want to look at some of the older stuff from 2001, there's two scrapbooks downstairs where in 2001 we had a youth meeting here, a youth weekend, and it went quite well. Shaving cream got everywhere. Boy's hair was white because of shaving cream. And some of the younger ones are there. If you want to look at it, you can see even Sister Trudy McMillan. We have, she here? Oh, you ought to see it, sister. You look good with shaving cream all over your head.
Yeah.
But we had a good time, and it just reminded me that everybody's grown up. I mean, Amy was a little young teenage girl. Where does that time go? That's been 20 years ago. From 2001 to 2021, that's been 20 years ago that we did that. But thank God that we can still talk about it, and we can see each one still here, and we see the fruits of maybe the labor that Brother Dale had a burden for the young kids even at that time, and have a burden for them now. So God bless you. Remember, after the service, we'll have cake and ice cream downstairs after we get finished. And Brother Bob will be speaking Wednesday night. May the 1st, we're going to start back with Bible study. That will be May the 1st at 6 o'clock. I know some of you are going to be gone, but we will have Bible study starting May the 1st. And then May the 9th, which will be the following Sunday, we will have our Sunday school classes back together again. Downstairs like we usually do. Okay, is everybody all right with that? 9:45, we'll start with our Sunday school classes at 9:45 on Sunday morning. Amen? Also remember June the 17th, 18th, and 19th, we're going to have, I didn't announce this, but let me announce this now. Since we're leaving on Wednesday to go up there, we're going to have church on Tuesday the 16th. I think that's right. But anyway, the Tuesday of that week, we'll be having Sunday service on Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday evening and not our Wednesday night, because we're going one day extra this year, give the kids more time to fish and play and get muddy and dirty and all those other things that they do. So, and Brother Chris Long and Brother Ronnie Long will be here. We'll have service on Sunday. We'll be coming back Saturday at about lunch, and they'll be speaking for us on Sunday. Also remember, July 3rd and 4th will be our 50th anniversary meeting. Brother Jewel Forney will be preaching Saturday evening, and Brother Mike Ulte will be preaching Sunday morning, and we'll have a catered dinner after that. Amen. So, and also remember, and I know that they've already posted it, Mary and them, on Facebook and on the different things, emails, that you know about Brother Ray's memorial service will be next Saturday. I think the service actually starts at 1:30, but you can get there a little early and have some time of fellowship. And Sister Mary, I'll have to find out tomorrow if I can be there Saturday. I had originally tried to take off yesterday, but since it's going to be next Saturday, I don't know. The lady I sub for, she's got a wedding that Saturday, so we'll see. So you just pray. But Brother Dale's doing the funeral anyway, so y'all just show up. Just be there. Amen. And support for the family. We love them with the love of the Lord. We miss Brother Ray. And we miss, I miss, he has one phrase that I always, he says, you know what I mean? He'll just be talking away and he say, know what I mean? At least most of the time we did know what he was meaning. So some people say that and you really don't know what, you know what I mean? No, I really don't. Brother Ray, you knew what he meant. He loved the Lord and he loved this message. And he loved the church here. Loved Brother Dale. And you know what? We're going to talk a little bit about that as we did last Wednesday about perfect love. So we'll start with this will be the plan, part 15. Today we're going to look at the chart a little bit to show us where we're at. And I'll be giving those out, but Brother Joe will be putting it up on the screen. So we're going to Hebrews 9:11. Let's bow our heads before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we're living in, the hour that you've given us to be here, Lord. We pray now that you would be the active participant in this service, Lord. You do the speaking. You're the only one that can do the revealing, Father, because without you here, Lord, it's just a meeting. Lord, as the prophet said, that denominationals have just come to where it's a meeting of a lodge. Lord, we don't want a lodge meeting today. We want a meeting with the power of the Holy Ghost being in each of our lives. And if someone is not empowered with the Holy Ghost, we pray that today during this service that you'll drop down as in the book of Acts, while the word was being preached, the Holy Ghost fell on the people. We pray that you would heal the sick. Lord, sanctify us for this journey that we're on. It's been a long journey, Lord, but I believe it's coming to an end. And Father, I pray that you would be with each one, Lord, that's not here, be with the ones that are sick, Brother Danny, Sister Joyce, Sister Hope, the different ones, Lord, fighting the COVID. We pray that you'd be with them, Lord, all the older ones that are not here today, too. We pray that you'd be with them. Just touch each one of us. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Bless this day, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. And here's our thought that we've been on for now 15 sermons. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing. He has obtained eternal redemption because remember, in this plan of redemption, Jesus Christ was Almighty God, but he was living in a body that was not eternal. He was living in a body that was brought here by God, but once it came into this dimension, it had to be our brother. He had to be able, that flesh had to be able to die for our sins. Because we couldn't have a spirit die for us because spirits don't die.
Right. Right.
Amen? Spirits don't die.
Right.
So we had to have a man, but that plan started before the foundation of the world, as we've been talking about it. We'll read it in just a minute in Ephesians again. But let's go to 1 John 4:16 because we're heading toward this part of perfect love. And I hope you enjoyed Wednesday night. I enjoyed, sometimes you enjoy preaching things and sometimes you don't. And I know ministers know that, but I enjoyed Wednesday night myself, and I know a lot of you did because you get good comments from it, you know. You give the hand clap to the Lord because he's the one that gave it to you. Amen. But watch this. And we have known and believed the love of God that, one more time. Believe the love that God hath to us. Now remember, there is no lesser form of love in God except agape love. Right. Everybody got that? There is no lesser form. God does not have filial love. Because filial love, he'd be wishy-washy. And agape love is, you say, oh, see, we have traded agape love with greasy grace, and you can get by with whatever you want to because God's a good God. You got to remember one thing. God is a judge. He is a righteous judge. He does not do things frivolously. He does not make decisions that are wrong. So to be a righteous judge, though, this love that he has for us, this agape love, is not what you're feeling towards your wife and towards your family and even towards your pastor. That's filial love. Agape love, the only way you can really experience agape love is to be born again. No other way. You can't understand it because that's what's happening now is the world, as Bob and I were talking a few minutes ago, the world has traded all that, though, for, do you know, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, if you don't have the new birth today, you do not have agape love. You're just living under filial love. So the denominational world, anybody that's not born again, anybody that's even a foolish virgin has not experienced and never will experience agape love. Only the bride. Brother Brown talked about the quote, and I didn't bring it, where Brother Brown says, only the bride will have what? True faith. True faith, which makes perfect faith, makes perfect love. So the bride will only be the only ones that know. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, even the Bible tells us the saints will judge the earth. Now listen, you're going to judge the earth by perfect love that you have. You're not going to, listen, by filial love. If you walk to the white throne judgment with filial love, everybody would get in. Right? Nobody's going to see, you see how the devil's took that though, and nobody's going to hell anymore. They can just do away with it because nobody's going to hell. Everybody's going to heaven because they're all good people. Yeah. Hell's going to be full of good people. I would say a lot of message believers, but I'm not going to go there. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Look, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love. Now look, dwelleth. Not just know about it every once in a while. Not just think about it every once in a while. But if you dwell in love, you dwelleth in God. And God in you. Or him. Talking about me. Us. You. Herein is our love made perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of what? See that word? Judgment. You have to bring judgment into agape love. Amen? You see there? In the boldness in the day of judgment. Because there's only way you can be a judge is to have agape love. Right? Right? Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. Now, we've been going through this whole world about a year's worth of just people being scared of their shadow. People being scared to come to church, scared to even breathe. Yeah, right. When are we going to get out of that? Yeah. He that feareth is not made perfect. You may read that one more time. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Right. I'm just reading Bible. That's not my quote. That's not Brother Brown's quote. That's the Bible. All right? That's the Bible. We love him because he first, what? Predestinated by foreknowledge that we would love him. He loved us first. Amen. That's what we've been talking about, that before the foundation of the world, God by foreknowledge knew who would and who wouldn't love him. So he made a place and a way for us to get to this direction, for the ones that don't love him to get to this direction. And I'll read you a scripture here in a few minutes where Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, have I not cast out devils? Have I not preached this message? Have I not? Oh, I've done all these me. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. And that word knew is not just K-N-E-W like I knew this brother right here. No. We'll get to that in a minute. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So you see, he had to project his love first. Right. Because all we knew, all we know down here is filial love. That's all we know is filial love as a human being. Everybody got that? Because I remember I read you that quote the other Sunday. I mean, Wednesday night. Read it real quick and then we'll get back to it. Brother Brown says, where's it at? Well, I'll get to it in a minute. But remember, he says, you don't love. You can't have agape love with your natural body. Your natural body has filial love. Your spirit realm is where you love. Memory, reason, conscious affection, imagination. That affection in that second realm is not godly perfection. I mean, whatever you want to call it, love. Right? Or affection. Inside the soul, then though is not filial love, it's either agape love or it's lust. Unbelief. Inside your soul, you say, oh, I don't lust after that. Hang on a minute. I'm telling you, these people that preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, and they're going to hell because they didn't get perfect love in their soul. They got it on their spirit realm so much until they thought that was the Holy Ghost. That's why that we contend in this church and as many as I know that fellowships with us, we believe in getting born again. Amen. We believe in a life-changing experience. We believe that the things I used to do, I do them no more. Amen. Why? You've been made perfect in love. Now sure, you're going to have a fight outside. You're going to have a fight in that second realm. I didn't say it was all peaches and cream. No, that's where you're going to have your fight. But listen, if you're born again today, your soul has no fight. It has already been victorious. And it's not the love of God, yet it is, but it is God. It's not I love my, no, it is God. If God is love, read it right there, God is love, and that love, where's God at today if you're born again? He's not a second or third person of a Trinity. He's only one person. And he, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he has morphed himself into you to give you that perfect love. And that's where the fear should be cast out. Let me read you a quote. Now, they don't have this one, but I'll watch this right here. You don't have to look for it. It's in Hear Ye Him, though, 1956. Brother Brown says, see, salvation is not based upon what someone else thinks. It's what you think of him. Divine healing isn't based on what the critics say or what the church says. It's based on your perfect faith. He didn't stop. Your perfect faith in the inspired Word of God. So you've got to hear an inspired Word of God to even have faith, as Brother Dale was talking about this morning. We need apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists because God saw that that's what we need. God saw that that's what we needed, an inspired Word of God coming from a fivefold ministry. And I know we all believe that. And then Brother Brown says, look, it's based on your perfect faith in the inspired Word of God and how you're inspired to believe it. That's what brings the results, is your inspiration by the Word. So what are you based on? Feeling, emotion, gifts? No, you're based on the Word. Then it brings all those things. It's like we were talking about this about Wednesday night. You know, I think the problem with it we've still been here is because of one thing. We have majored, Brother Brown said, on a minor. We've majored on a minor. If you want to help you understand that, it's like I was saying before, if you want to be a doctor, if Zach's going to become a doctor, this is for those of you that weren't here and those of you that were asleep Wednesday night. At least you'll wait for a little while right now. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so you're going to be a doctor. All right, now what courses are you going to have to take? Well, I need to take woodworking. I need to take electricity. I need to learn how to crayon in between my lines. I need to learn sports. Now, that's part of the curriculum. But that's not going to make him a doctor. He can do some of these elective courses. That's fine. But his core courses are going to be biology, chemistry, anatomy of the body, how to cut somebody open, how to sew somebody up. That's the same way in the message of the hour. We've majored on all these minor That's it, folks. That's why we've been here 50 or 60 years. We majored on the electives and not majored on what the prophet told us. He said it would take those seven unknown thunders. It would take the seals to be open for us to even understand anything. The real message of the hour. Now listen, when I say the real message of the hour, that's not saying that the rest of it's false. But you have to build. Now listen, those electives have to be there and they will help that person. But it will never get Zach the degree. Now what is my degree and your degree? A body change. Our degree is not by and by, I'll see you because I gotta die. Ours is standing on earth and literally death, the prophet said, would crawl up your sleeve and you would say no. Reverse the process. You will say no way. That's not going to happen to me. So, but then you say, well now, all right, Zach, you want to be a doctor? I don't care if you do or not. Just say yes. You want to be a doctor? Now, I got this hurting right here in my back. You want to come in here and cut me open and now he's going to be a doctor? Why can't he do that? He don't have the experience. He's got to have some experience behind his belt. That's what we've been having for 50 years. We've been having, but listen, they put all their experience on this over here.
Yeah.
And there was a time when we needed that. We needed that, like Brother Dale was talking about, the hair and the dress and living right. But you know what? If you're born again of the Spirit of God, a preacher should never have to tell you how to dress. They got it all wrong. Yeah, I'll clap myself. They got it all wrong. They're over here beating you up, trying to get you to line up. When if you got them born again, now the prophet of God tells me that a Holy Ghost filled woman will never put on a pair of pants. Holy Ghost filled woman never cut her hair. The Bible tells you that it's an abomination for you to cut your hair. So why do I have to keep rehashing all that? Read your Bible. But if you get born again, something inside of you, then your spiritual rudder is going to take you away from that. Oh, I don't know if I can get to church or not. I don't know. Didn't Brother Brown say Christians went to church? But filial love says, well, my cat's sick. I'm going to say it one more time. My cat's sick. Filial love says, I need to stay home with my kitty. Or, you know, put whatever you want to in there. You know, I got to stay home because I've seen people, you know, and I'm going to tell you one more time. We got people that, you know, my kids, you know, Hannah was here a few minutes ago. Praise the Lord. At least maybe she got a little something. Y'all should have sprinkled something on top of her while she was here. But I'm not going to compromise what I have and stay home because she's home. I'm not going to have my kids come in and dictate what I do in my house as far as going to church. June's dad. It was probably the devil motivating him, but a lot of times he'd show up on a Saturday night or show up on a Friday night, you know, and hang around for a little while. But you got to set an example. I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going this way anyway. But you got to set an example. You got to say, I'm going to church. If you want to meet me, you either go to church with me or you can sit right here and play with my dog until we get back. Toby will take care of that. He'll take care of you and we'll come back. But see, they're waiting to see what you are going to do about it. And a lot of times we fail. Should be church first beyond anything else. Should be your, like I tell you before, I know Sister Brewer and little Sister Brewer, they know the message, so I'm not preaching to them. But you know, you get somebody walking in the door that's brand new, and they come in and you know they haven't been around the message because what? It shows. Their fruits show. But Brother Dale's up here just hammering away, and then all of a sudden he goes down that little pathway about water baptism or God sent a prophet or something like that, and we just sit around like we're like stones on a river. But you know what that's going to project to that person? That project person is going to say, I don't believe what he's saying, and them people must not either. No, you should more. Try your best to get out of Nod for a little while. And at least, hey, Brother Dale, or somebody preaching up here and a new person walks in, you ought to say, that ain't nothing but the truth. That's what we live on. That's what we survive on. We don't survive on a Trinity. We don't survive. How in the world can we do that? How can we survive on a Trinity, knowing what you know now? How can you survive on, you know, what you got inside of you as the third person of a Trinity? How can you do that? You can't do that. Not if you're born again. I'm telling you again, one more time, let that thing out you got, people. Let it out. And even if you're demon-possessed, let it out. Get the Holy Ghost. And then let him out. Let him work. Listen, he ain't. You'd say, well, now here you go giving away the Holy Ghost. No, you're never going to do that. You're going to try to. I try to give my eternal life to everybody I see that wants to listen. Amen? Because you're not going to be able to give it away. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? That's pretty powerful. That's why there's a lot of people have this projection of what God is and what he looks like and what his purpose is, and it's false. He's not the third person of the Trinity. He didn't create an eternal hell. He didn't tell us to be baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? But now all the world is over here under this filial love. Because listen, anything you hear that is contrary to the Word of God comes under filial love. You can't preach a false doctrine and it be agape love. So if you're preaching a false doctrine or you believe in a false doctrine, you have not received that perfect love or that agape love, because that is the love of God. That isn't the love of God. Now the Bible says projected, but remember, it's not projected like on a screen. When God projects his love, he takes his love and puts it inside of you. And then that reacts to what he is. That's why you sit here in a church service and you don't react. Maybe there's nothing to react with. Try it sometime. Try to react sometime. You've tried the other way long enough. Nobody's went out the door yet, so we're good. I said yet. If I do, Aaron will get Aaron to go stand. He can cover both doors. Pulls a lot of weight in this message. Ephesians 1. Verse 4, he's the only one I can say that to and get by with it. Okay? According as he has chosen us in him, let's go to the underlying part. Before the foundation of the world, that's what we've been talking about. This whole plan of, if it was an eternal plan of redemption, it wasn't developed just, well, I got to do something. No, God, before the foundation of the world, this has all been settled. He knew you were going to be here today, and he knew that if you weren't going to be here, and people look at me cross-eyed sometimes when they say, I really enjoyed your sermon today. And I said, I really enjoyed you being here to enjoy my sermon today. Because there's a lot of people weren't here to enjoy it. According to his chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Then we talked about predestination unto the adoption of children. Now, Brother Dale's been on adoption. We're going to read a quote here that I'm going to read from the adoption series. So there must be a call that we were talking about something the other day. And listen, sure, there's a call to be born again. There's a call. These different calls are going out. But the call in this end time, it narrows down, the prophet of God says. It's a narrow. And that narrow way is adoption. We're never going to come to the body change without someone, somebody, some not group, individual, coming to a place where death is destroyed in that person while they're still alive. That's what our call is. Yeah, it's our call to preach on this and to preach on the Holy Ghost and preach on how to get it. I believe we've been doing that. But there comes a time where if Zach's going to be a surgeon, now he's going to take 4 years of college, 2 years of extra stuff, and another 4 years of internship. Okay? And then when he gets to the last part of his internship and he gets ready to take his test to be a doctor, he's going to say, I forgot to learn how to spell. I got to go back. You see what I mean? No, he learned how to spell. He has went through the development stages. He knows and has all. When he gets that certificate is what? It shows that he has took a required course. Now, our certificate is the message of the hour. The head teacher has already come and give us what we need to get that certificate. What are we doing with it? Esther got a certificate the other day. Good girl. Take your hand, go out like this and go, you did good. That's great. She did, to be a dental hygienist, right? Huh? Dental assistant. Well, did you just get, they just sent you that, right? I mean, you didn't have to do nothing for it. What, did you pay a couple of dollars? Huh? Oh, I worked hard for that thing. Well, guess what? She's pretty adamant about that, wasn't she? You studied long hours. You went to church. You read your Bible. You prayed. Yeah. Everybody got what I'm saying? Right. Shifting it over to us being Christians. Right. How in the world can we be Christians and not know who our Father is, not know what to do and what to look at and what to read? Right. See, that goes back to why would I want? I wouldn't want a surgeon come in. They said, "Boy, he's the best surgeon ever was." I said, "But this dude can't read." What do you mean he can't read? How did he become a surgeon? Well, he just paid a couple $100 and we showed him how to cut up a cat and he's ready to go. Well, that's the way we've been if you're not born again. If you've just been playing around with this message all this time and you're not went up to the statue of perfect man and you're not showing any kind of any brotherly kindness or anything else, that's exactly what you've done. You've bought yourself a degree under filial love, not agape love. Because under agape love, God will take you and teach you. Amen. Through apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and you sisters talking to you other sisters, and each one talking to us, each other about the Word of God. That puts us in line for this adoption, because if you're born again, you're all in line for adoption. But it's not immediate. Everybody got that? Well, that was already been, hey, listen, you receive the spirit of adoption. Inside that spirit that you get, there is a way, a prescription, a curriculum that will get you there. But now what does Brother Brown say? He says, now look, if you grieve the Holy Ghost, now you're not going to lose him. But he's going to go out on a limb. Now listen, you're not going to do something wrong and God's going to go, no, I don't think I'm going to go. No, you know what he does? He just lets you suffer a little bit. He lets you go through some dry places every once in a while. He lets you go, God, where are you? You know what he's going to do? He's a good God. He's going to say, you know what? He said, you said this certain thing to this brother one time. I'm talking by experience. I said something about this certain brother one time, and you need to get that took care of. Now listen, you can either get that took care of, or you're going to meet that on the other side. And you're never going to move past that spot right there. That's why I called that brother up. I said something about him, and I call him up and apologize to him. I was wrong. You know what that done? Like a revival. Phone call didn't cost a dime, and it wasn't but about 15 minutes. And after we got done, he said, well, Brother Wade, he said, you come up this way. We go that way to Illinois. He said, just call me and come preach for me anytime. Amen. See what I mean? But that thing, see, it wasn't on him. It was on me. I'm the one that said it. So you be careful about belittling people and yakking about people and be careful. You'll never go past that point. Right. Trust me. You'll walk around in dry places for a while. Right. Why? Because the Holy Ghost says, well, you're still my child. Now listen, I'm in adoption. Right. You're still my child. But what did Brother Brown say? He said, oh, but your child is acting up. Remember the Holy Ghost. He's telling examples. The Holy Ghost goes to the Father and says, now, not you, but your child's acting a little, acting up. You know what he's going to do? He's going to make you pay for it. Because as Brother Dale says, you know, if a bastard child can't take correction. Well, the bastard child was born under filial love. A bastard child's not born under agape love. Agape love has nothing to do with sex desire, has nothing to do with how we got here, nothing to do with any of that. That's what got us in trouble, because we stepped over into filial love, which rolls like a ball down to lust and all them other things. We're going to read it in just a second. But listen to this real quick. Get off that for a minute. Bro, Bob, don't talk to me no more. Adoption series. Let's go. We've read this before. We have redemption. Listen, thank God for redemption. Listen, thank God for grace, and it's not greasy grace. See, greasy grace is a grandpa that lets you get by. Amen, Deanna? Uh-huh, she's shaking her head. Oh, if you only knew. But in whom we have redemption through his blood, what? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, what is grace given to us for? Grace is not given to us for stuff we're fixing to do. It's for your past.
Right. Amen.
Because if you say it's for what's in front of me, then you just go to the priest in the Catholic Church and say, "Forgive me, Father, for I'm going to sin tomorrow. I'm going to kill three people." That's why the mob loves to be Catholic. They're going to forgive, and he'll just do the whatever he does, and they're forgiven. Well, you can't get forgiven for something you hadn't done yet.
Right.
That's not grace. But listen, what about a God, though, that will check you before you do it? If you got agape love, he's obligated to do that.
Right.
He's obligated to put that little pin in your heart that says, better not go that way.
Right.
But now, of course, sometimes we do anyway. So let's go to the next quote, quote number one. Now he said, this is from adoption. Because remember, back in Ephesians, we saw where, I'm going to read it, don't go back to it, having made known unto us the mystery of his will.
Right.
All right, so this age and this end time is the only time that we know the full mystery of the will of God.
Amen.
The full mystery of redemption. Not just that we're saved and we're sanctified and we're filled with the Holy Ghost and we're going to live a good life and we're going to pass away, but we know where we're going and we'll be back and all those things. That's fine. But I thought adoption had something to do with authority. Where you have authority over things. All right, so listen. So now he made known unto us the mystery. Get the Holy Ghost on you sometime and start running that and just watch how it goes. This afternoon I had about 30 minutes to study just to look the lesson over. Maybe not. I'll say half of that, 15 minutes. And I got to running and I thought, the mystery, how mysterious. And the scripture packed me back into the Old Testament, then back over into the New Testament. Tied something together. See, the mystery of his coming, the mystery of his will, the mystery of us sitting together. Us.
Right.
Not another age. We've already seen all. That's not a mystery anymore.
Right.
That mystery is history.
Right.
We know what Martin Luther came under. We know what John Wesley came under. We know what the Pentecostals came under. But do we know what we came under? See, the mystery of his coming, the mystery of his will, the mystery of us sitting together. Remember, it cannot be taught in any seminary. It's a mystery. You cannot know it by education, by theology. It's a mystery that's been hid since the foundation of the world. Look, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Listen, tell me, my brother, tell me, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? Listen, there's been great things happen, but a lot of that's been happened. Like, see, if under Luther and under Wesley, they were still denominational. I mean, they weren't denominate. Listen, they didn't denominate, but their message was not fully complete. The mystery of the will of God is not that he's a Trinity. That's not the mystery of God. The mystery is that they call it a Trinity and he's one. They, the outside world, the denominational world. That's a mystery. Now look. When was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? When were there ever a time in the history that this manifest a time to deliver all nature?
Right.
Nature itself groaning, waiting for the time of manifestation. They're talking about now, if you look on YouTube and pull up some kind of earthquake, I can't remember the name of it. But this is one that's going to destroy California and about half of the United States. They're already predicting it. They're saying it's about 100 years overdue. It came several thousand years ago, and it's getting ready to come. Why is it always, they always talk about California? Because we had a prophet to tell us.
Right.
that that's exactly where that was going to happen. Amen. So we already know what's going to happen. We don't need somebody to give us a projection. We know what's going to happen. But it's going to, listen, all nature, anything that happens in nature, I believe, is that something's happening spiritual in the people. You think the natural is going to happen before the spiritual? Can't happen. Something in the spiritual world's got to happen first, and then the natural will happen. Look, why? Before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, before all the Old Testament, on down, there couldn't have been manifestation. Now, let's stop right there just a second. There couldn't have been manifestation in the Old Testament. Now, let me caution you what Brother Branham's saying, remember. Because there was manifestation in the Old Testament. There was healings, there was signs, there was wonders, but that was for them. That was for them to get through their journey, for them to get through their life. That was for them to come to a place to where God could put them in paradise, as we were talking about, waiting. But there's nobody had the whole package deal like we have. They did not have the new birth in the Old Testament. Amen? So they were working under an anointing of the agape love. I said anointing of that agape love, because that agape love couldn't go inside of them. But they had manifestations, but not like the one Brother Brown's fixing to talk about. Why? Before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, before all the Old Testament, on down there, there couldn't have been manifestation. It had to wait till this time. Why? Because we've got everything right. We should have already been done with our electives. We should know how to read. We should be into our core classes and getting ready to graduate. It had to wait till this time. Now all things has been brought. Coming, shaping up to a headstone, to the manifestation of sons of God, coming back in the Spirit of God, coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so. He said them, not, we know Brother Brown's was. But he's gone off the scene. He brought us what we needed. He's gone off the scene. So men, ministers, laity also. Don't throw it all on us. We got a job to do, but so do you. The Bible didn't say study to show your pastor approved. To study to show yourself approved. And the Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry. Now, Jesus Christ didn't bring us, let me rephrase that. He brought us everything we need. But when he preached those seals, he sealed that thing back up until the end time. So there's no way nobody could get it. He preached the six seals in Matthew 24, but nobody understood it. He died at Calvary. Come back on the day of Pentecost, but then there has to be a growth development. I'm reading what Brother Brown said, not in the Old Testament. And not even in the early, because they don't have the headstone shaping up to a headstone, which is what? The head message. Amen. The headmaster is on the scene now. The super surgeon that can teach you every little thing you need to know. Amen. He's not just a 1-year doctor. This guy we're talking about is an eternal doctor. Until their ministry will be so close like Christ, till it what? It'll join him and his church together. That's not filial love. Has nothing to do with filial love. It's all agape love. It'll join him and his church together. Now remember, we're going to skip through this, but for the sake of the visitors, let's look. We know that foreknowledge, let's go to number 2. That we always, in the message, you hear people preaching that you always was eternal and you always was this and you all, in the mind of God, you sure were. But down here, you were not. You were born in sin. You were a cuckabird. You were dead. You were born dead. Like I read that scripture that we're supposed to joy at the going home of a saint and cry when a baby's born. We get it totally backwards. Why cry when a baby's born? Because you're looking at death. Brother Brown said that. And he said, you're looking at death when a baby's born. Because that person, if not, is going to go through life and going to die. Because that's what that kind of birth. But now thank God for the new birth. That was real weak. Thank God for the new birth. And that's the best thing you should ever had. How can I take a cucklebur and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. It's impossible for you to save your kids. It's impossible for the pastor to save your kids. But you can get them under the fountain enough and be enough of an example that they want. Listen, I wanted what he had. He's my daddy. I've got his characteristics. I've got his DNA running all through my body. That's not what I wanted. I got that whether I wanted it or not. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. So I was born into the devil the same way we're born again of the Spirit of God. When you get born again of the Spirit of God, God can't deny you. You're his child. You have his DNA, but you still got to grow up. You got to grow up so that somebody that dad will be proud of us for the things that we do. The only way it can be is because inside that cucklebur has been transmitted from a cucklebur wheat or a cucklebur to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury that cucklebur and it'll produce a grain of wheat. That's right. Because there has been a life of wheat put in that cucklebur. You got to be born again. You can't just sit in a message church. I'm going to read you a quote in just a few minutes. You can sit here forever. And say, oh, I love Brother Branham and I love this message. It just sounds so good. Oh, come on now. That's greasy grace. So God's going to give me eternal life just because I lack or filial love him? No, that's not what he's after. He's after his own love, his own life. And so I don't want to go through the dimensions again, but we know that we come up here to the sixth dimension. So let's go all the way, if you don't mind, brothers, to where it says perfect love, number seven. So we won't be here so long. We can have a fellowship downstairs. Bring it, take it to number seven, Brother Joe, please, where it says perfect love. Quote number seven. You're going to have to skip. You're going to have to go through four dimensions to get there. Five dimensions. So there you go. Now he said, I believe I was caught up to the sixth dimension, looking back there and could see back. See, the sight isn't exactly the eyes, it's earthly, but sight is a greater than that. The sight that they have, their contact is far beyond contact that our natural senses would contact. We can't imagine that. But listen, if you get a revelation from God, you're pretty close. Because it doesn't do anything for these eyes. It does your spiritual eye. It opens your spiritual eye into your soul that teaches you how to go up that statue of perfect man, that gives you revelation that the Trinity is not right. And then, see, that should be all gone. We should now see a revelation to where, yeah, sure, we always was eternal, but when a preacher preaches it like we didn't have nothing to do with it, and we just was pulled through a tube, and, you know, we just got to believe the message, and I saw the prophet, and I saw this one, and I fished with this one, and I read 12 books, and I read 2,000 books, and I read the Bible 300 times. See what all that does? It's just... Paul said you can do all that and not have charity, and you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. All those great... Look at Caiaphas. He stood there, and I'll guarantee you, Caiaphas... He knew he was a man of the hour because he was the high priest. High priest meant he was the highest guy religious guy on the earth at the time. And he couldn't see that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Why? Because of the teaching that he'd come under. The traditions. Didn't Jesus tell him? He said, you made this tradition. It's just tradition. See, if we made this, even going to church, if we made it just a tradition. You know, I said a minute ago, you should be at church every time. Brother Bram said every time a door opened, you should be in church. Just saying. But now you're saying, well, we don't have to go to church. That's not what I'm saying. You don't have to have a physical building to have a communion with God. But you do need to come to church to have a better relationship with God. Everybody got that? Say amen. Wake up the ones beside you so they can say it too. Let's go to number eight. I can't explain it. This is when he went across the curtain of time. Let's go down there where it says, and I said, I don't understand this. And the voice said, this is perfect love. Said, isn't that what you spoke the Holy Spirit was? I said, yes. And this is perfect love. Where was he? He was in the sixth dimension. What did everybody in the sixth dimension have in common? Now remember, they were black-headed, they were brown-headed, they were blondes. He said they were short, they were tall. He said the men had shaggy hair, women had hair, you know, and had the robes on. So that made them different. Right? But they had one thing in common. They had the new birth. Without the new birth, you don't go into that sixth dimension. So it doesn't matter. See what I mean about all the electives and all the peripheral? That doesn't matter until you get the new birth. When you get the new birth, that puts you in that place. When God gives you the new birth, He comes out of His dimension. He's in the seventh, right? He comes out of His dimension and He gives you the new birth. And that connects you with at least the sixth dimension, because where's perfect love? It resides in that sixth dimension. Isn't that what he just read? This is perfect love. So if you got perfect love, that's what's connecting us with those people in that sixth dimension. Listen, that's the reason that even the Bible, without the Bible, I can see by revelation that somebody with perfect love is going to stand on this earth in a human body. Doesn't matter what the doctor says about you. Doesn't matter what, how age in the calendar you are. Doesn't make any difference. They're going to stand on this earth and say death has been destroyed in this body. Because without that, listen, when Jesus resurrected, I like what somebody said, and they preached a sermon on it, and I can't remember who it was. Maybe in Danny Steeman. A long time ago. He said, you know, the resurrection message was not to dead people. And a dead person can't give you the resurrection message. A resurrection message has to be preached or spoken or shouted or trumpeted by a live human being in this dimension. Amen? In this dimension, not over there. So we can't all get over there, Bob. We'd be trapped. Somebody's got to have that same perfect love right here. And listen, folks, that's the doctor. That's the diploma you're looking for. And you can get it. Because somebody's going to. Right? I like what my old football coach, he said, you either lead, follow, or get out of the way. So I contend we got leaders and followers, and we need to make sure we know where that's at. But there's somebody is going to bring us, we know it's God Almighty, but He's going to bring it through the ministry, because I just read to you what Brother Brown said, a group of people ministering the same message that Jesus Christ Himself ministered on the face of the earth. It was so close to Brother Brown's time, they thought he was God. He said, boy, that's bad, because I said, well, I told somebody the other day, I said, that's not too bad. Has anybody ever said, you look like you God? They said, he's lived so close to God. Now, we know he had a prophetic gift that you and I don't have, but you know what? We do have part of it. He didn't take it all away. I thought we were messiahs. I thought we were little eagles. I thought he connected us with that. Now, it was in one man, now it's in many people. But how many, somebody walked up to you, anybody said, well, you remember that woman walked up to Brother Brown and said, Brother Brown said, you forgive them people their sins. Said, you acting like God. He said, wasn't too far from the truth. He didn't say, no. He said, wasn't too far from the truth. So how are we going to destroy death? That's been the biggest question. And it's just like I told you Wednesday night. Somebody answer this. How do you eat an elephant? One piece at a time. Nothing special. One piece at a time. That's what we're doing. We're chewing this thing one piece at a time. We're going to make it. This is perfect love. Now let's go down to number 9. Because we know what happened. We know he went across the curtain of time, and he said, are these all Branhams? They said, no, they're your converts. Now let's go to number 9, Hebrew series. Now watch. The first is perfect love. That's God's love. Pure and unadulterated. The next coming there is filial love. That's love that you have for your wife and your children. The next drops that is lustful love. The next is ungodly love and just goes on down till it's filth. Keep going on perverting and perverting. He said everything has a beginning, has to have an end. Listen, filial love had a beginning. Lustful love had a beginning. All agape love never had a beginning. That is always eternal, never will not be eternal. Agape love. Because listen, the love of God is why this plan is eternal. It's the love of God that he did not let us just go ahead and just the whole world just die and just go off into oblivion and never to be remembered again. He could have done that. But he did not. He knew there'd be a group of people that would yearn and groan and burst the doors open if they had to get into church. But see, you can do that with filial love. But if you bring that together and take it back up to agape love. See, agape love is not, you know, I love June as much as more than I love anybody else. But that's filial love. Because if she's not born and I'm not born again, there's no agape love if you're not born again. Amen? That's why we can fellowship under agape love. And it doesn't turn into, that's why you see, and I'm just going to make it plain, that's why you see many ministers, even in the message and even out in the world, they get caught with women and all these different things. Brother Brown said, money, women, and popularity were the three things you had to watch out for. He knew that. Why? Because there was a spirit carried with each one of those. And being a minister, I was hoping Dad would cover it this morning. But see, as a minister, you have to be careful. Because you are attractive, even though ugly as we are. We're attractive people. Bob, don't laugh so hard. You didn't have to amen that. Nobody had to amen that. You good looking kid, though. You ain't got a problem with it. But you understand, though, there's things comes with that. There's an anointing. There's a pull. There's, you don't want to be. That's why when Brother Dale or any of us talk to you as a sister, there is either our wife in there or something, the door's open. You understand what I mean? Because see, that filial love gets so close to that agape love, and then all of a sudden it agape love can't go downward. Filial love can go downward. It can take you into lust, and I just read it. Ungodly acts and all these different things. So there is an anointing to that that you're born with. But it's how you use it.
Right.
Didn't Brother Brown say, he talked about Pat Boone, he talked about Elvis Presley, had an anointing
right.
on them, but they took that anointing and sold it to the world.
Right.
Amen. I'm not going to, like Brother Dale said, he said, and the analogy to this is you know, you go to family reunions or something and somebody's become a doctor and everybody's like, oh man, they're a doctor. They've achieved something. Well, what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor of church. Okay. No, that's the highest office there is in the world. Way past the president, way past the senator, way past a stupid television personality. A YouTuber. A TikToker. Deanna. What's TikTok? I thought that was a clock. No, it's not. I found that out. See how that perverted, though. So you watch, everybody, all you watch, because it starts going downward. If you don't have agape love, everything rolls downward. Amen? So you're getting further away from God, not closer to God. So be careful if you just live under filial love. That's my whole part. Just don't live under filial love. Just make sure you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost that will hold you and will keep you in the time of trouble. Let's go to number 12, I'm going to skip a few of these if you don't mind. And we'll want to look at this chart real quick. Then we'll go downstairs and eat some ice cream. Let's go to number 12. Adoption. See, we're still in the adoption series. Brother Brown said, look, he said, thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place. He's talking about the sixth dimension. For that's all there was there. No matter how much religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you've done or whatever you've done, that won't count nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, you lay aside everything else until you are just so filled with the love of God, till you can love those that hate you. And I wrote myself a note. I said, look, don't misrepresent that love with greasy grace. Don't misrepresent that love for just having affection. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're a child of God and you do something wrong, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. And if you don't take the correction, you know what it shows? You never had it to start with. You never had nothing to take you back to the correction. Because you're a bastard child. And a bastard child is not a part of the family. Amen. Number 13, from this time on, Klamath Falls, Oregon. And I looked and people was coming from everywhere and I said, what is this? That voice now, from no one, the same voice that spoke the room is still with me, says this is perfect love. I've always taught the evidence of the Holy Ghost is perfect love. See, I believe in speaking in tongues, sure. But though I speak with tongue of men and angels, wow, and have not charity, I am nothing. He's quoting scripture. Right. I am nothing, become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So when you speak with tongues and got love with it, that'll show. Now, see, that's where he puts everything back together. He's saying, well, I'm not throwing tongues out. I hope we start. And you know the nine spiritual gifts that Brother Dale's talking about. When you say, when I say nine spiritual gifts, you go to two. Yeah, that's right. Most of you cannot give me the other seven.
Yeah. Right.
I'm just going to put you on the spot. Most of you can't. Don't look in your Bible. Don't cheat. What's another one? Thank you. What's another one? Faith. I'm preaching. Oh, wisdom was the next one, huh? Discernment. There's a few more. I can't really name them all, but everybody says, oh, we got to have the nine spiritual gifts. Speaking in tongues. An interpretation. Major, not a minor. That's the last two. What about, we do have gifts of wisdom in this church. We do have gifts of faith, of knowledge, and all the different things in this church, working in this church. But you say, well, you don't got no gifts because you don't have tongues and interpretation. That's just part of it. That's not all of it. It's the nine spiritual gifts. Maybe if you'll read them, it'll be easier for Brother Dale to preach next time. Yeah. Amen. Look at number 14. Just remember, I'll say this with the faith that I have in that vision. Whatever it was, I'll speak in the name of the Lord. Except you have that perfect faith, you'll never be there. Because nothing could ever be there without it. Look, your spirit would be out of place there. Now let me ask you a question. If you're born again today, your spirit is out of place to the world.
That's right. Amen. Preach that.
Your spirit is out of place. In this world, if you think when you go home today, I was watching people in the airport the other day. We were going to Arizona and I was watching people, a man and his wife and two kids come and sit in front of us. They were discussing things and, you know, I don't know exactly, but here's the way I see the conversation. You know, they're going snowboarding. They're going to Phoenix because they can snowboard. You know, there's a big mountain there you can still snowboard off of. So they're going to snowboard. And then they're going to do this. And then they're going to do that. And he gets on the phone and she goes and does her. And I know they're not believers. I mean, they all had on shorts and you understand what I mean? So I know they could be nominal Christian. But what were they doing? Their spirit was familiar with the world. Their spirit, and I'm not saying you don't need to do that. I'm just saying their spirit was so familiar though that if you would say, hey, we're going to have church service Sunday and you're going to be right there in Flagstaff, just come and have service with us. Only going to be maybe 20 miles from your snowboarding event. Well, they'd look at you and, what do you mean? We're out here to snowboard. We're not here to have fun. We're on vacation. What are you asking us to go to church? See? But if, what if they'd have had the same spirit that gave it? What if you'd have had the same spirit that gave it?
Right.
If you got the same spirit that gave it, then it will react and say, oh, there's a church there 20 minutes away?
Right.
I mean, the first time we were thinking about going hunting in Illinois, I searched high and low. I called Brother Larry Harris. I called a lot. Brother Jewel Forney. I called everybody I knew that knew where these little churches were spread out. And Southern Illinois is they're dead. They ain't a Methodist church within 2 hours of that place. But we knew Brother Byler was there. We knew Brother Richard Hyatt was there. Right on the way up and right on the way back. So we made our journey based on that, because you know what? My spirit. Now, listen, I don't have a problem with hunting on Sunday if I'm way off somewhere. I don't. Now, Brother Dale's made a pact with God that he wasn't going to do that. But now Brother Brown said, if you were far enough off. So you understand what I mean? I'm not so dogmatic. But if you're around somewhere that you're familiar spirit, like one day Brother Dale and them were in Colorado and couldn't, well, they weren't a Methodist church where they were at anyway. Him and Brother Mike and a couple other brothers, they met in a cafe and just had a little church service. Why? They was familiar. Their spirits were familiar. They wanted to go to church. They wanted to do things. You know, birds of a feather flock together and all those different things. But look, if your spirit would be out of place there. It couldn't come. There'd be no way for it to come. How many people have you seen come into this church sometimes think they're going to go to that one? They get real nervous and they leave pretty quick when the service is over, or they look around and they realize they're in the wrong church. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that maybe that spirit they have is not familiar with the spirit that's in here. Or vice versa. You understand what I'm saying? Your spirit, you say, no, that's for them people in the sixth dimension. Listen, if you ain't got that same spirit, you ain't going there. Because the spirit you got is not familiar with that place. But if you'll get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, say, look, no more than it would be for a grain of corn to raise up out of the ground without a germ of life in it. It'd be horrible to see corn up this tall out in my garden and not one ear on it. Well, see, but look, that's not the characteristics of the corn unless it's been, unless it's been retarded, the gene's been retarded, but it's got a germ of life in it. It's got to produce what it is. Same way with me and you. Your germ of life will produce. Listen, and in this day and time, you can't hide it. This is not the hiding time. You cannot hide this at all. Let's listen. Watch this next one. Way of Have Fellowship, 1955, number 15. Listen to this. I'd rather have a church. Listen just a moment. I'd rather have a church that knows nothing about any spiritual gift and just be so in love with each other and with Christ. Now, if you cut it off right there, you say, well, Brother Branham didn't believe in spiritual gifts. What he's saying is we're not going to hold on that that's what Christ is, but watch. All right? I'd rather have that than every spiritual gift operating in the church. Now, that might sound hard on a Pentecostal group, but I would rather have it. Where there is gifts, they'll fail. Where there's gifts, they'll bring confusion. Now, he's talking about the gifts they were talking about. Where there is gifts, they can be questioned. But where there is love, it is perfect. Amen. That's right. And if you had perfect love, now watch, you'd have perfect gifts. Right. Right. So he's not doing away with the gift. He was doing away with what they thought the gift was. See, that whole group of Pentecostals was sitting there saying, if you don't, in their mind, all right, little man, if you don't tell these people that speaking in tongues is the evidence, you're wrong. That's what he was picking up, the spirit of the people. He said, no, you can speak in tongues all you want to. You can have all that kind of gift, but if you got agape love, look, and if you had perfect love, you'd have perfect gifts. So work first with love. That brings fellowship, and fellowship brings gifts. Well, that's the way to do it right there. Get the new birth, get the perfect love, then that brings fellowship, and fellowship will bring the gifts. What? It'll bring the right gift. Now let's look at number 16. This is Christ revealed in his own word. That Laodicean church age, naked, blind, miserable, don't even know it, see? It's that anointed with the real spirit, see, that Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in his spirit. But his soul is his germ. That germ is the word. See how I don't care how much you can preach, how well you do this, and how much you love. That's one of the inlets to the spirit. You can't love with your body. You love with your spirit. That's one of the inlets. And you can love and even love God and still not be right.
Right.
You can cast out devils and preach and do these things, still not be right. Jesus said, would come in that day, that word is what settles it. Number 17, perfect faith. Sorry, Bob. And when we were sinners, I'm going to read the quote anyway. You might read it too. He said he's going to preach on perfect faith Wednesday night. So, and when we, preachers can't get together and talk with each other about nothing. We'll get at each other's, well, anyway. And when we were sinners, alienated, without God, pretty awful, isn't it? In the world, in that muck of mud. Have I hit anybody yet? Should have been the whole congregation. Especially those of you that are asleep. As I talked about this morning, God come to us. God sought you. You never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. And God came down in that muck what you were and sought you out and brought you out. That ought to create a perfect love. Look what you was and look what you are. What did that? Somebody that loved you, not with filial love. Can't you have faith in what he's promised you then? Real, genuine love will create a confidence in his word. Not a confidence in the gifts and all that, a confidence in his word. Now the word, listen, gifts is part of the word, but if you don't get the giver first, if you don't get the perfect love first and the perfect faith first, then you will, what? Brother Brown said the Pentecostals, they cabbage down on what? Just those two gifts. Exactly. And they didn't go any further. There was all that other to go to. And they what? They turned it down because they didn't have confidence. Of course, it wasn't a word for them. We should have confidence. Real, genuine love will create a confidence in his word. I'm going to read these quotes right here real quick. Matthew 7 verse 21, they don't have it, and then we'll look at the chart for a minute, and then we'll go downstairs. Matthew 7 verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, now he didn't say one or two. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Matthew 7 verse 23 says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now that word knew is not like I knew this brother right here or this sister right here. That knew goes back to where Adam knew his wife Eve. In other words, they had an intimate relationship. He's telling the people, you loved me with filial love. But you never entered in and loved me with agape love. You loved me so far, but you didn't go any further. You didn't seek me so much to where everything I give you is agape love. Listen to this. Be certain of God. Sometimes faith will do great miracles and still doesn't come from a spiritual heart. Oh my goodness. Did not our Lord say many will come in that day and have not I done this and done that? I will confess to them, depart from me. What is iniquity? It's something that you know to do right and don't do it. I never knew you, he will say, and we're living in that day. So he penned it right here. Queen of Sheba, 1959, what a disappointment it's going to be at judgment when men who thought that they were all right because they had faith to heal the sick, they had faith to operate a gift, and had great meetings, great evangelistic services, and won souls. Let that sink in. And won souls. In other words, God used them to bring somebody to Christ, and they didn't have Christ in them themselves. Jesus has forewarned us of these things. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, have I not cast out devils? And in your name done many mighty works. Then he said he would confess, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. It takes more than the power of gifts. It takes more than joining a church. It takes the birth of the Holy Spirit to break down our walls and unite us together as one great Christian body moving for one objective and one goal. Right. And that's a body change. Right. Yeah. But remember, don't jump up there and get that diploma right off the bat. Ain't going to happen. You got to go through. Listen, this message was given to us to give us the opportunity to take a body change. It gave us all the others too. It gave us everything else. The spiritual gifts. Brother Branham lined everything up for us. That was the Elijah spirit where he lined everything up. Remember the Elijah in the Old Testament? The prophets of Baal, they jumped on the altar so much till they knocked every stone off of its place. And what did the Bible say? Elijah restored the altar. In other words, that spirit of Elijah took the pieces, those stones, those revelations that they didn't get, and he rebuilt that altar. When he rebuilt the altar, what happened? God came down and vindicated that prophet. He didn't just consume the sacrifice, he consumed the water that was in the hole around it. Amen? So now, Joe, if you want to pull up that real quick, we'll be done right here. About 5 minutes. We hadn't been talking about this. Some of you have around there, or you can get one of these right here. We've been talking about right here. This is what we've been on, is redemption. And we did this a long time ago, and Brother Joe found it again, so we got it. So the world as we know it is light, life, and matter, which is the first three dimensions. Then here's the Adam and Eve and the creation. See, remember, they were not down here, right? Genesis 2, 16, 17, Luke 3, 38. Adam and Eve fell in Genesis 3. Well, where'd they fall? They fell down to time. Everybody got that? Say amen. They fell to time. This is a timeline. This is where time, where we've got days and weeks and months and years. This is a timeline that goes all the way from when they fell, the fall. That's why they call it a fall, because they fell. They fell to time. But now see, God still had to what? Then death came on the scene. There had to be here's paradise. Abel, Genesis 4:8, Abel went into paradise. We already read who all went into paradise. Because look, Jesus Christ hadn't died yet. They were covered under the blood sacrifice of bulls and goats, but it didn't do away with sin, it only covered their sin. We read that. So nobody in the Old Testament had the new birth. Even John the Baptist did not have the new birth. Now he had the Holy Spirit on his spirit. Not in his soul. Because the kingdom started right here on the day of Pentecost. Here's the seventh dimension. Listen, God never came out. He's in that seventh dimension. You got that? Now watch what happened. We're going to go right here and then we'll quit because I want to go to right here where he preached and then we'll start next Sunday. So the first person to die was Abel. So he went into a place called paradise. Now look. Those who turn God down, though, there is a fifth dimension. Look how long that fifth dimension is. Jesus preached to the ones who turn God down, 1 Peter 3, 18 through 19. We read that. See, they're never going to live until the white throne judgment. They're going to be in a place of like a complete nightmare. Then the second resurrection is going to happen. This is the white throne judgment. Everybody got that? Yeah. Now, me and you, we drop down here into time. This is us, church ages. Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. It's been, what, putting people in the body of Christ. Then we're going to take a rapture. So we're going to be all up here safe. Because this is all going to be destruction down here. Because also remember, paradise was emptied out when Jesus came up. When he died, went down, preached to the people in hell, come back up on resurrection morning. Everybody got that? Now we'll stop right there. You still got it. Still, paradise, though, was emptied out here and become the sixth dimension. Now, remember, the sixth dimension is going to be emptied out. In the rapture of the bride, that sixth dimension is going to be totally emptied out, and you're not going to see it anymore, because what are we going to do? They're going to come here, walk 30 or 40 days, then we're going up in a rapture. Up into this dimension where there's no sixth. It's all seventh. Because, see, where are we going to meet God? We're going to meet God where? In the air. He's going to take us up to a wedding supper, and he's going to be there. Amen. He's going to be right there with us the whole time. If you want one of these, you can come get it. There's some in the back there, but that's where we're going to get to. We're going to talk a little bit about the seventh dimension next Sunday and then continue down our line. But it took 15 sermons to get us to right here, to get right here where the birth of Jesus is. But does everybody understand what I'm saying? We place this. This is all part of redemption.
Glory.
Even the fifth dimension. There's got to be dimensions inside of dimensions because we know the sixth dimension was.
Yep.
Everybody got that? The sixth dimension's got dimensions in it because Brother Bradford said, where's Paul? Well, if he was in the sixth dimension, and we know Paul made it to the sixth dimension, but like the angel told Brother Branham, he said, you'll be gathered with your people. The Bible tells us he goes back into where Jacob, and I've been reading in the Kings and First and Second Samuel, every time a king died or every time a good one died, like Solomon and David, they were gathered with their people. And they're put into a holding place. So same way, Brother Branham is waiting now. Brother Ray is in that place. He's not conversing with Martin Luther. He's not conversing with John Wesley. He's probably still hanging around Brother Dick. So, but you know what? Thank God. That's more real than we are. That has substance to it. This, you say, no, this is hard. No, that's got more substance than it because it's eternal. There's no part of that not eternal. Here we're now eternal in our soul. But we're still human in our body. We have a cucklebur that we're living in. But we're going to another place. We're going to contend that this cuckabur is going to be changed into a wheat right here in front of the devil, in his playground, in his Eden, in his place of worship. This is Satan's Eden, right? This is Satan's place of worship. This is where he's wanted to be because he wants to deceive as many as he can. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians, come. But eternal redemption started before the foundation of the world and it never will end. You know what? When we get over on the other side and we keep right on into eternity, we're going to know that that man named Jesus died for us.
Glory.
And he didn't have to. He's our father. He's our brother. He's everything to me.
Glory.
Y'all sang that song, didn't you?
Yes.
He's everything. He's everything to me. You don't have to sing. You sing whatever you want to sing.
Here is the original life.
Oh, sure. Let's sing that. Give a page number out. We're going to sing that.
Page
376. Can I borrow this?
Key of F.
376. If you don't know it, we're going to sing this. Did you hear what he said? This is one of Brother Ray's favorite songs. You know what? He became a part of that original life. That's why he's over in that other dimension. All right.
God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what raised up for. Praise the Lord
for the original life.
The sisters are going downstairs to get ready, so let's say
the original seed, the original word, is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled. The original life, the original seed, we are the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say. And our names are seen within, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired by our God, who's the original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe, the Son of Man. Seventh seal is unveiled, the original life, the original seed. Oh, our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded.
Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentiles' days soon be over. Glory, hallelujah to our God. To the original light, the original light, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man.
We are called into adoption, full of authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in that hour.
Yes.
You know, all this, when you first come into message or you first come to the Lord, a lot of things are, they're not fairy tales, but it's something that you say, well, I don't know if I can attain to that or not. Well, see, that'd be the first thing Zach would do if he went down here to Emory University and walked in and said, I want to be a surgeon. They'd walk him through and they'd watch him do an operation or watch him do something, you know, in science, and it'd be overwhelming, wouldn't it? Real overwhelming, wouldn't it? But you know what? That guy that was operating on the table was sitting in the same place he was sitting in 6 or 8 years before that. So what am I saying? It takes that time. It takes that responsibility, number one, to say, hey, I'm going to be a surgeon. I'm going to be a doctor. So, all right, if you're going to be a doctor, this is what you're going to do, all right? So if you want to take a body change, this is what you got to do. Eat the elephant. One bite at a time. But if you fall off and don't do what the word says, then, you know, you have to stop for a little while. You may have to, you know, we always talk about skipping grades, and then some were unfortunate enough to get held back a year. Why? Because they didn't understand all the teaching. That's not anything to say, you know, derogatory, but it's the same way in the Word of God. It's what you eat. It's what you feel that's important. Because Zach can put his whole life into going to school and become a wonderful surgeon. Or he can go down there and he can party and he can, you understand what I mean? You can party your way through school. Well, you ain't going to graduate. Okay? Same way with the Word of God. You say, a lot of times, if you don't have agape love, I'm telling you, if you don't have agape love, you will head toward filial love and it'll start rolling downhill every time. Because Satan loves that filial love because he wants you, that's why it's called filial love, because it feels good. Agape love, most of the time, don't feel real good. When God's hammering on you and trying to get you straightened out, trying to chisel them pieces off of you. Listen, I don't think it's chiseling time, folks. I think Brother Brown, where Brother Brown said, now it's time that you got to just take the sandpaper. When Michelangelo, he beat them big pieces off of that statue and there was big chunks laying on the floor. Well, when he got ready to do his detail work, he used little fine sandpaper. And he got right down there close and he'd sand this part and sand this part. None of this big knocking off. We've been through all that. We've been through that. Let's get down to the fine points. The honing. Brother Brown said this is the honing age. Well, honing is not chopping big chunks off. Honing is getting what? Your knife real sharp. It's honing it down to a razor's edge so that we can get, are they ready? Okay. All right. Well, God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. We're going to go downstairs and eat cake and ice cream. And when we dismiss, just head on down there. And, if you don't want to get too crowded inside, it's a beautiful day outside. You can go sit outside. If you want to do a little social distancing, because you can't eat cake with that thing you got on your face. Right? So you have to eat with your mask off. So go downstairs and just kind of separate a little bit and enjoy Brother Dale's birthday, 81 years old. So we are going to, there's some gifts down there for him. Just love on Sister Mary and, love on Sister Kathy and the family, Brother Micah and both grandmas and the sister. But love on them with the love of the Lord. We love you. Anything we can do for you, you just feel free to ask. And we pray that you had a good day in the Lord today. I've had a good, any day that I can come to church and meet my brothers and sisters, I've had a good day. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now as we go downstairs, Lord, and honor our pastor with his birthday, that you'll sanctify the food that we're about to partake of, Lord, that you'll give it to us for the nourishment of our bodies. Be with us on the highways on the way home. Be with the ones that are sick, that weren't here today, not being able to come. I pray that you would, Lord, sanctify us for this journey. Even those with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we ask for a sanctification again, Lord, to keep us clean. A daily sanctification where Paul says, I die daily. Lord, just bless us and take care of us. Be with us till we come back together on Wednesday night. Give Brother Bob, Lord, the words to speak to us, because we know they'll come from you, Father, if he'll just yield himself to you, Lord. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.